Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hello, 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 and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting right here from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. We're so excited to have all of our listeners from all across the World Wide Web. We truly appreciate you. Hey, you know the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And I am pleased, I am tickled pink, as my auntie in Millersville, Georgia would say, and truly honored to have a special segment that we are bringing to you today. So I know you want us to get this party started. Ladies and gentlemen, my special guest, oh my goodness, she is a Tony Award-winning actress, a legendary R&B singer, and oh my goodness, she's a gospel singer. You've seen her on the big screen, you've seen her on the little screen, you've seen her on the stage, you've heard her voices across the airway. She certainly is a multifaceted artist who is always reaching deeper, pressing harder, ever challenging herself to keep her audience on the edge of their seats. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the mic right now is Lady Melba Moore. Welcome to the show, Melba.
Thank you so much. What an intro. Wow.
It's all you. It's all you.
Well, right now, I'm tickled pink. I'm your auntie.
We are so glad to have you, and I'm telling you, we just want to share with our listeners here a little bit of some of the highlights of your awesome career. We're just glad to have an opportunity to speak with you.
Well, my pleasure.
Great. So let's start kind of from the beginning. Certainly, your career kicked off with the groundbreaking musical Hair, where you originated the role of Dion. And what I want to call out to our listeners is that you were the first black actress to replace a white actress in a lead role on Broadway. Tell us about that time.
Well, I was doing studio work or background singing, recording sessions, and one of the jobs that I was called for turned out to be for a man by the name of Galt McDermott, who I found out later wrote the music for the Broadway show Hair.
Wow.
But I had no background in theater at the time, so I didn't know what that was. But he was accompanied on the recording session with the people who had written the book and the lyrics to the music for Hair.
Uh-huh.
And they were kind of like hippies.
Oh.
I mean, they were hardcore hippies. They didn't have any shoes on them. And this recording session was in New York City. People wear shoes there, you know?
Right.
And they had these faded out jeans that had tears in them and everything. And they had on these T-shirts that looked like their mother didn't show them how to separate the whites from the colors in the laundry.
My goodness.
And they call them tie-dye.
Uh-huh.
And the one that walked up to me and asked me this really, I think, you know, inane question.
Uh-huh.
He had this bright red bushy curly hair that looked like his hands were stuck in a live plug.
Uh-huh.
Well, he comes up to me and asks me, would I like to do hair? So I said, honey, you're the one that needs a hairdresser.
I love it.
Not me. But that's how I got my first opportunity to go into the Broadway show Hair.
Wow.
So it's not like I knew anything about theater or anything like that. It just was a nice piece of surprise, good fortune. So when I entered the show, it was as a chorus member and with the featured role of Dion. But eventually the lead actress left to go with Woody Allen to do a play that he was doing at the time to star in it called Play It Again, Sam.
Okay.
She then went on to be in all his movies and a great, great, great movie actress, and that's Diane Keaton. So I wound up replacing her.
Wow, phenomenal, phenomenal. There are so many different nuggets within your career that we could talk about. I definitely want to talk about a trailblazing moment, I call it, with the recording, your recording of Lift Every Voice and Sing, and how that was instrumental in having that song entered in the Congressional Records as the official African-American national anthem. Tell us about that.
Well, I think that's really wonderful. So I think that God has kind of unfolded my life in a way that, well, the same things happened to everybody, but he made it interesting because he knew he would give me a chance to tell a story.
I think that's fabulous.
Well, I became the, what would you call it, the membership chair for the National Council of Negro Women at the request of Dr. Dorothy Height.
Okay.
And for your listeners who might not know, that's the biggest, one of the oldest black women's organizations community service and political organizations that was started by Mary McLeod Lathune.
Oh, right, yes.
Now, this is all very important because I'm an educator. You know, I'm not stupid or whatever, but when she called me to be the membership chair, she said, well, why don't you, she would invite me to come to all the conferences and the meetings and the press conferences and all that.
Yes.
And she said, well, why don't you open up the conference with a song? And, you know, something that would be appropriate, like a prayer song or something. But I wasn't a gospel singer then, because this is only like about 10 years ago.
Wow.
I've only just started singing gospel.
We ain't going to get into that, too.
And she said, well, why don't you sing the Negro National Anthem? And I had never heard of it.
Mm.
So she told me what it was.
Uh-huh.
And that it was written by James Weldon and J. Rosamond Johnson. I went and got the sheet music and learned it. And I opened up all of her breakfast prayer meetings and all of her meetings with that. And I said, she told me it was our anthem.
Yes.
And I said, well, why didn't everybody, how come I don't know this? I said, I bet a lot of people don't know it. So I recorded it, and I thought, well, you know, if I just record the song, people are going to either think it's my hit record or that I wrote it.
Right.
So that's why I invited people like B.B. and C.C. Winans and the Clark Sisters and Freddie Jackson and Dionne Warwick and Stevie Wonder and Jesse Jackson to do the narration. And I can't think of his Academy Award-winning actor.
Lou Gossett?
Lou Gossett.
Yes.
To do the video, and Debbie Allen directed and gave us a concept for the video so that it would be something that was, first of all, inclusive.
Yes.
And to have it be visualized as something that was not something that separated us, but made us a part of America. And when people asked the question, and of course I would give them the opportunity to ask the question, you know, why are you singing this? We have a national anthem. Because America is a nation of nations.
Yes.
We, of course, are the only ones who came here as slaves. And we are everybody is identified by songs. Every nation has a song. That's the way God made it. And this is the one that we sang as we were struggling for first-class citizenship. So it gave an opportunity to explain the inclusiveness, and I got one of the many doctorates that I've received, honorary doctorates, from my alma mater, which is Montclair State University in New Jersey. And what I did was I sang about five or six different national anthems along with Lift Every Voice and Sing. The point being, we all have a song, and it's not exclusive, it's inclusive.
Yes. Phenomenal. And I wanted to call those things out because you are not just, you know, an awesome singer and actress, but those trailblazing moments, I like to call them. I wanted to make sure our listeners were aware. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and I have the awesome opportunity to interview Lady Melba Moore. Ladies and gentlemen, that's who you are listening to right now, Tony Award-winning actress and phenomenal, legendary R&B artist. We're so glad to have her on the show. So, Melba, let's talk about, certainly, we can't leave out the R&B. I mean, oh my goodness, you've got songs. This is it. You stepped into my life. Lean on me. Love's coming at you. I mean, over the years, you've had a chance to partner with so many different people. What have been some of your favorite songs? And I know that's a hard question.
Okay.
Or most requested, if you want to say.
Because you kind of hit on it.
Yeah.
I think your songs, well, maybe I shouldn't try to speak for other people. I'll speak for myself. The songs I like best are the ones that the people respond to the best.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Lean On Me.
Yes.
Which was this one, everybody thinks it's Bill Withers. Of course, that's incredible. When You're Not Strong, et cetera.
Right.
But this one was written by Van McCoy, and I should let people know, because a long time has passed now, that he's the one who actually almost single-handedly ushered in the disco era with the disco hustle and that sound that he had with his strings and a beautiful dance beat. But he also wrote wonderful ballads. And this one I found on the B-side of what we used to call 45 singles.
Uh-huh.
When we had it's not plastic. What do you call it?
Vinyl. Was it vinyl?
Yes, it was vinyl. I'm sorry.
No problem.
We used to have vinyl. This was on the B-side of a song called Spanish Harlem. And it had been recorded before, but the queen of R&B had recorded Miss Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
So just like everybody else, I was a groupie. And on the B side, I turned it over, and I heard this incredible, inspiring song to me. And I took it to because I just loved it. And I just, not that I thought I could sing it like Aretha.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved this song, and I've just been so inspired by it. And as it turned out, I really did have a good heart and a good ear.
Yeah.
Because people have taken it as I've sung it for them.
Uh-huh.
As one that really inspires them. And so it's become a signature song for me. So naturally, that's a song that I really love singing. I never get tired of singing it. And whatever type of a different audience I sing it for, even if they never heard it before, they relate to it in whatever their background is.
Uh-huh.
If they're Caucasian and they have a theater background, they'll say, well, what Broadway show is that from?
Oh.
If they're black and they're gospel, they'll say, well, is that on your new CD?
Uh-huh.
And whatever age group they're in, they'll say, well, what is that song that they get into it the first time that they hear it? So that's probably my most favorite.
Oh, right. I love it. And ladies and gentlemen, certainly check Melba out online. Go to our MySpace page. Go to www.myspace.com/Melba Moore. Again, www.myspace.com/Melba Moore. Get on her friends list. Check out her bulletins, all that, and stay up to date. Now, they also can go online and purchase a DVD that you did at the Lincoln Center.
Yes.
Oh, what was that experience like?
Well, that was great because what we did was we kind of put together something from all the different areas of my eclectic repertoire.
Yes.
Which, of course, is Broadway. We put some things from some of my Broadway shows. I've done a few now. I wasn't able to put anything from Les Mis or Rob, like I Dreamed a Dream, because people asked for that song, but something from Pearly,
yeah,
a medley from Hair, some jazz things like Airmail Special as a tribute to Ella Fitzgerald, some Cole Porter things because they're just some great, great standards, some of my hit records, and some gospel songs that I just find very dear that people respond to very wonderfully. Like one of the people I feel is kind of still overlooking the gospel world, especially with people like me who love the Lord and who
right.
are now just now starting this in our latter days. Yeah, I would call her Saint Mahalia Jackson.
Yes.
And so that these things that have inspired us over the years can still inspire us and still be fresh and new, but remind us, thank God he's doing something new, but songs like Precious Lord.
Yes.
That are just
that never go out of style,
they
right?
Won't go out of, that's
never
what I'm
go out.
To say.
Never go out of style. I love it.
Yeah.
Yes, and ladies and gentlemen, also check out www.legendsdvd.com. Again, www.legendsdvd.com. And that there's a kind of a conglomerate, if you will, of different classic legends of classic soul, and you're one of them. Your DVD is listed as one of those if people want to see you also live, right?
Are you talking about the new project?
I believe so, yes, legendsdvd.com.
You know, I'm not familiar with that, but
okay.
I did participate in a project that was produced and created by Time and Life, who do these huge television based projects. And usually they do things that are in the files that are just being re-released. But this time what they actually did was they got R&B artists to re-record fresh renditions of classic songs like To God Be the Glory.
Yes.
Oh Happy Day, I think Teddy Pendergrass is singing, Jody Watley is singing, Heaven Help Us All, Denise Williams is singing Glory to Glory, I'm singing These Are the Days of Elijah, that's what I can remember them.
Uh-huh.
That, fabulous Donovan Corcoran sang, and I'm doing a duet with Freddie Jackson.
Yes.
Which is the tribute that was written by Andre Crouch. I don't know if that's what you're speaking of.
So, yes, that's Time Life compilation. So, ladies and gentlemen, definitely go check out Time Life online and find all the great things. You can check her out on Amazon and all over the web. So certainly you can find out about Melba Moore. Again, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting right here from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, and I am interviewing Lady Melba Moore. Okay, so Melba, let's definitely get into your gospel projects. I'm Still Here in Nobody But Jesus. I love the title track, too. Would you say you always sung gospel, or is this a transition in your life?
This is transition. This
okay.
I was born and raised Catholic.
Okay.
So although I'm religiously rich, I was kind of culturally deprived.
Okay, right.
In a way, because my natural voice is, I'm a lyric soprano, classical, so something like Ave Maria or Summertime, I would sing that beautifully, naturally.
Yes.
But, you know, being Afrocentric, that's not all my culture is.
Right.
So we want to holler and hoop at kids, too.
Yes.
So songs like, I didn't have any songs. Well, let me put it in the right context. The reason I got into gospel or led into it in this full way is because I lost my career. Everything was just crushed and destroyed and gone. So I didn't have any songs to sing. But I was already born again Christian, so all I did was worship. And then I realized, well, you know, Lord, you made me a singer. I don't have any songs.
Right.
And I don't know the traditional gospel songs. So I went to Shirley Murdoch, and she wrote a couple songs for me that would express my my testimony.
And she's phenomenal.
Yes.
She's phenomenal.
And she also sang Back Up On Them, and her husband, Dale, and she really worked with me in producing a couple of really, really great songs.
Yes.
There's a duet that she did with me on Nobody But Jesus.
Yes.
CD called and Call Me.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And she wrote I'm Still Here for me so that I could hoop and holler at Jesus a little bit and tell, you know, what he's done for me, how he brought me through. And I'm trying to think, there's one other one that she did with three.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Praise Ya.
Okay, yes.
We say Praise Ya or Praise Yah.
Uh-huh.
You know, Jehovah. She wrote those three for me to give me kind of a base to start my gospel recording career. So I got to say happy, you know, thank you, Jesus, for Shirley Murdoch and her great, great, great talent, and of course her great presence as a woman of God.
Absolutely, and we certainly give her a big shout-out. Hopefully get her on the show sometime soon as well. And we definitely, I mean, I think it's just awesome that you've moved into this area. I love Nobody But Jesus, and we're going to play that later in the show. I love that. And I love that you have some traditional stuff that have a little bit of a kick to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's just wonderful, 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 wonderful.
I'm going to see, you know, it's time for me to start working on another CD now, so I've got to see where I belong now.
Right.
There's been a lot of growth, I hope.
Great. Well, I'm telling you, we just love it. And listeners, stay tuned. Check out, again, the Time Life compilation. And then you can go to Amazon, get all of the CDs, I'm Still Here, Nobody But Jesus, anything you want, anything online you certainly can find. You know, another thing I wanted to talk to you about was your two-act, one-woman play with music called Sweet Songs of the Soul.
Well, it's autobiographical, and the reason why that emerged was because I really didn't have any work or anything that I could perform or do, and I kept going to people trying to get work and trying to get plays and trying to do this, that, and the other.
Uh-huh.
And I got some wonderful things, but there was nothing consistent, and so I realized from being in the church now that God says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony.
Absolutely.
Your story is what God has done for you, and that's your testimony. And I realized that in theater, they call it an autobiography.
Yes.
I realized, oh, my God, that's the same thing. And really only you can write that. And I realized that that's why I couldn't get anybody to do it for me or do something, because it was time to do that. I mean, you only know that if you're trying to find God.
Right.
So that's how it emerged. And what it is a story of, I guess, my legacy of music. I began back when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and my mother was a professional singer, single parent, would go off to sing and whatever, and I'd be raised by my nanny and my grandmother, who wound up having a stroke. So the brokenness and the shatteredness of the family, which I think is unfortunately a common thread that many, many of us share for different reasons.
Right.
About what the family really is, and the fact that my mother was blessed to marry a man who was a good, good, good man, but he was also a musician, and her partner in work. They formed a group together. He had a son and a daughter, so I then had a family, a sister and a brother, aunts, uncles, cousins, and how that really molded and changed my life from the brokenness it had been before.
Right.
Also, it means that now from the time I'm 9 years old, I'm studying music.
Wow.
And so from then on, music becomes the center and the base of my life. And I grow up and go through elementary and junior high school, and then it's time to go to high school. And they have an art and music high school in Newark, New Jersey, where I was then growing up.
Okay.
I'm going to go there, so I get this specialized training there because I'm already deeply in love with music as a result of my stepfather's love and passion for it and my mother's passion for it. And then I go to college, and, of course, as a middle-class American black person, you said, well, get a job.
Right.
So I trained to be an educator, and I guess I got the biggest education. First of all, became inspired by it, and I discovered that I really was gifted as a teacher and a mentor, and one who nurtures people. I'm really good at that. I love that. I'm grateful for it. I'm not proud of it. I'm
right.
grateful for it. That's a great, great power. But I was really in love with doing music, and so I was very torn, but not too long after I was in the classroom, I left the classroom to try to get into entertainment, and I tell, you know, about hair and my first experiences in the industry,
mm-hmm.
and then the demise of that and the drugs and the things that many of us fall into
right.
that destroy our lives, and, you know, how God has brought me back, and some of the current music that I have, and some of the, more current. That part is still to be written because I got new music, I'm sure, that's going to come.
Right.
Now. And right now, I think the new music will come in original music, and I hope to get the One Woman Show in a position where I can attract the best songwriters now.
Yes.
And finish refining the piece and then take it to Broadway.
Well, we certainly applaud you, and certainly because you don't have to be transparent, you don't have to share, but thank you for sharing, you know, with the world, because it could be a story that will help someone else, and I'm sure it's a story of your life that will help other people. So
I hope so. I think so.
We applaud you for that. Certainly. And now the goal of my show, as we wrap up, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. So tell us, what motivates Melba?
Well, I'm a born-again Christian. That means he's put his hand on you heavy.
Yes, yes.
So to seek him and see what he wants and learn how to interpret what he's saying and be a part of the world and a blessing to them, hopefully, and they to you, but not be dragged down by it. As, of course, now being a mature person, I can realize that some things are just terrible for you, and be, I think, a light and an example of God's restoration, his rejuvenation, and all the great things that you get out of it, but the main thing being it's not for you.
Right.
And that motivates me, because I guess it's just so easy, if God is good to you, you have some things that everybody recognizes as gifts, to then kind of hoard them to yourself.
Right.
But he always brings you back to a place where he says, nah, you got to start over.
Oh, boy. How about?
And so the motivation is, whatever it is at the time, you need this.
Mm-hmm.
So you start fresh, and you keep doing everything as though you're still trying to get the job.
Wow.
And so you're still, you know, interviewing or auditioning for the job.
Wow. Well, we certainly pray your continued success, and I feel like you will continue to be center stage definitely in your life, because you have so much to share and you're so open. Everyone that is at the level that you're at certainly is not as open, from what I have come across, let
okay.
me say that. So
great.
We appreciate your time, and we thank you so much for joining the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
It's been my pleasure.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, check out Nobody But Jesus, and we'll be back to the show. Thank you again, Melba.
Thank you.
And help me through danger seen and unseen, the way only a father can.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answered no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.Mitchell-Productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
The Professional Black Woman, where women are serious about success. We're professionals and experts in our field, and we value networking and relationships. So join us at theprofessionalblackwoman.com, where success is inevitable.
Diabetes is a killer. After I was diagnosed, I had no pain. I didn't feel sick, so I didn't listen to my doctor. Then it struck. I had a heart attack, then a stroke, and I was only 49. If only I'd known. If only I'd listened.
People with diabetes are 2 to 4 times more likely to suffer a stroke than people without diabetes. And many who survive are severely disabled. You can reduce your risk of stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. You should also talk to your healthcare provider about taking aspirin. And if you smoke, get help to quit. To learn more about reducing your risk of stroke, call 1-800-DIABETES for your free diabetes survival guide.
It's not too late. Don't let diabetes destroy your life.
A message from the American Diabetes Association and the American College of Cardiology.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. We have a living single segment that we are going to do every quarter. We want you to send in your questions, your comments, anything that you want talked about on the living single segment. Make sure you send it in. You can email me at info@mitchell-productions.com. That's info at mitchell-productions.com. Again, thank you so much for joining the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We love all of our listeners from all across the World Wide Web. Make sure you check back with us on our regularly scheduled day, which is Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we will bring you more phenomenal and outstanding guests and interviews and topics. We're just so glad to have all of you. And listen, join my email list. And you can join my email list by going to www.mitchell-productions.com. Again, that's www.mitchell-productions.com. Again, I'm your lovely, wonderful, magnificent host, Charvette, and thanks again for tuning in to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.